Turning to God's Word today, we're coming to what is the most well-known incident in the life of God's prophet Samuel. This, of course, is that time when Samuel as a child heard God's speaking voice in the night. Although at first Samuel did not understand what was happening, he did not understand it was God calling him. In the end, this turned out to be one of the most remarkable incidents in the life of this great man of God. You see, as the Lord called Samuel that particular night and gave to him his word, what really happened was Samuel was called of God to be his prophet in Israel. He was called to serve God in this very important way of bringing the word of the Lord to the people. This is what happened that particular night. He, as a young man, even as a boy, was called into God's service. Samuel, being from the tribe of Levi, was already destined to serve the Lord as a priest in the temple. And he already would have received training for this work. But now, as God calls Samuel in the night, he is called into a very specific and unique work. He is to be God's mouthpiece among the children of Israel and bring to them the word of God. Therefore, this night in young Samuel's life really changed everything for him. Even though he was only a child, from this point, he was now God's prophet, receiving God's word and declaring it to the people of Israel. In this life-changing incident in Samuel's life, there are many things that we could consider. There are many spiritual and even practical truths for the believer to think upon as God called Samuel to be his prophet in Israel. However, as we focus our attention on this passage of Scripture today, what I want us to consider is the subject of hearing God's speaking voice. The subject of hearing God's speaking voice. You see, in the opening words of 1 Samuel 3, we are told of how at that time in the nation of Israel, men were not hearing God's speaking voice. They weren't hearing this. See again what it says in verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. As it says here, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. What it means is, there was no established prophet in Israel to bring to the people the word of God. There was no hearing of God's word because there was no recognized prophet in the land that declared the truth to the people of Israel. This was the time in which young Samuel lived. This was the sad spiritual condition that prevailed in the nation of Israel at that time. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. As God then called Samuel to be his prophet, Samuel has this unique, this wonderful experience of hearing God's speaking voice. He hears God speak to him. God reveals himself to Samuel. At first, Samuel did not recognize that this was God speaking to him. He thought it was Eli calling him. And so three times he goes to Eli to ask him what he wanted. We are told in verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. These words do not mean that Samuel did not know the Lord personally. Samuel was not like Eli's sons. 1 Samuel 2 and 12 tells us of them. They were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. These men, these wicked men, had no personal knowledge of God's salvation or power in their lives. And so they didn't know the Lord personally. They didn't know his saving grace in their lives. Yet Samuel was not like this. He knew the Lord personally. He worshipped God. But he did not yet know the Lord as a prophet. He didn't know the Lord as one who recognized God's speaking voice. And this is why it says at the end of verse 7, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. It's speaking about Samuel as a prophet. He didn't know the Lord as a prophet at this particular time. He knew the Lord personally, but not as God's prophet. As the Lord then called Samuel that night, he heard God's speaking voice. The word of the Lord came to him. Now, what I want us to think upon today is why Samuel heard God's voice. Why did this young man have this wonderful experience of hearing God speak to him? Why Samuel? We should note, Eli did not hear God's voice that night. No one else in the temple heard God's voice. No one at all. Only Samuel, this young boy, who was probably around the age of 12, heard God's word that night. Only Samuel heard God's speaking voice. I believe we are reminded here that it is possible to be in God's house. And remember, Eli at this stage was in God's house also. It is possible to be in God's house and be surrounded by all the different parts of worship and yet not hear God's speaking voice. It is possible for God to speak in His word and we can fail to hear His voice. This is something that can happen. Oh yes, we can listen to the word and we can listen to a sermon, but we can fail to hear God Himself speaking. God meeting with us and God ministering to our hearts. All we hear is words. All we hear is another man speaking. But our souls and hearts are dull to the reality that the one who is speaking is the Lord. It is God Himself who has condescended to speak to us. And there's no sense of awe. There's no sense of wonder. Our hearts are not warmed or changed. There are many that sit in churches, and this is the situation they are in. On one occasion, the Lord Jesus turned to His disciples, and He said to them in Mark 8, the verse 18, "Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not." This was a spiritual problem the disciples had. The disciples, even the very disciples of the Savior, had ears. But they didn't hear. And what was the Savior saying? Oh yes, you hear with the outer ear, but you don't register in your soul. Your heart is not moved. And this is also a common spiritual problem among many professing Christians. They are failing to hear God's speaking voice. Having ears, hear ye not. As Christ's people, we should desire to hear God's speaking voice, like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember those two disciples on the road to Emmaus? The Savior himself drew near and went with them. And He began to speak to them. And He opened up the scriptures to them. And I remember what they testified. Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us, by the way, and while He opened to us the scriptures? These men heard not just with the outer ear, but it registered within their heart. It registered in their souls. Their heart burned within them. God, by His Spirit, took His word and applied it to their souls. And they were moved. They were changed. You see, what happened was simply this. They heard Christ's speaking voice that day. In a unique way. In a spiritual way. As something that went beyond the physical hearing of the ear. That's really what we're thinking about here today. This spiritual hearing of God speaking and of God ministering to our hearts. Why then did Samuel in the temple hear God's speaking voice? While others were deaf to this. While others didn't hear. Well, notice with me three things in this passage about hearing God's speaking voice. In the first place, notice with me here, God speaks to those who serve Him. God speaks to those who serve Him. See, the first thing that we are told about Samuel in this passage, it is that he was serving the Lord. Notice again the words in verse 1. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. As a boy in the temple, Samuel ministered unto the Lord. His life was a life of service. For as he went about doing the tasks Eli gave him, he ministered unto the Lord in all that he did. It was then, as Samuel engaged in the work of God, that he heard God's speaking voice. It was while he labored and served the Lord that God spoke to him. What we are then brought to see in this passage is God speaks to those that serve him. This is who God meets with. This is who God, by his Spirit, speaks to in a very direct and intimate way. Those that serve him. This is one of the reasons why Samuel had this marvelous encounter with his God. Because he was a young man who gave himself to the service of the Lord. And this is what we're brought to see right at the very start of this passage. He ministered unto the Lord. We see the same thing in the life of the disciples. As they lived in the service of Christ, their master, they were continually blessed to hear him speak. And we can think of the disciples. They served Christ day by day. And as they served Christ, as well as serving him, they were blessed to hear him. Indeed, hearing him, we could say, was a byproduct of their service. As they served him, they were in his company. As they served him, he was close by. And this caused them to hear the word of Christ daily, continually. Think of it this way. If the disciples had not been serving Christ, if they'd been off doing other things, they would have not heard him speak as they did. They simply wouldn't have. Hearing God speak in his word and having the Holy Spirit impress the truth upon our hearts is then very much connected to our service for God. And they want us to see this. Hearing God speak, knowing the blessings of God's truth upon our heart and soul is connected to serving the Lord. Now, as we examine this passage, I believe it's also important to note how Samuel served the Lord at this time. How he served the Lord. As a boy in the temple, Samuel's service is a very powerful example in regard to how every Christian should live in the service of their God. He really is a wonderful example to us, even though he was only a child. What an example he is. Notice then with me two things about Samuel's service at this time. We see here Samuel served the Lord simply. He served the Lord simply. He was only a child at this stage. The commentators believe that he was around the age of 12. Therefore, his work in the temple would have been limited to the more simple and mundane tasks. That obviously would have been the case. The age in which a Levite began to work in the temple or tabernacle was 25. And that's when a Levite would have started their work in the temple. Numbers 8:23 tells us, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This is it that belongeth unto the Levites, from 25 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." This then was the age a Levite properly commenced their service and work in the house of God, where they had a particular role, not until they were 25 years of age. And so the role which Samuel as a boy played in the work of God would have been limited to the small and simple tasks of but a youth. Lighting the candles, brushing the floor, opening the curtains, and doing these simple things, these ordinary things. His work, his service, most assuredly would have been most simple. Now, if Samuel, as a boy of around 12 years of age, could serve the Lord in the temple in the simple way in which he did, this shows us that there is a service that each believer can engage in the work of God. And I want us to think about this as we think about Samuel today. Because this is a truth that God's word brings before us. He was but a child, a boy. And yet the word of God records that he ministered unto the Lord. He lived in the service of God. And if Samuel could do that as only a child, then there is a task for every believer in the work of God. It is important to remember that the vast majority of work that God requires of his people is simple work. So often we think about God's work as being complicated. And having to preach or having to be a missionary and having to do this or that and other, and these great roles, these great tasks. But you know, the reality is this. The vast majority of work that God requires of his people is simple. So simple, even a child could do it. It is the work which involves supporting the saints. And this is the work that God requires of his people. The work of supporting the saints. encouraging one another, supporting one another. Remember what Galatians 6 and 2 tells us, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And this is what Paul was saying to the Galatian believers. This is your task as God's people. This is how you are to serve the Lord. Bear one another's burdens. Encourage one another. Support one another through the difficulties and challenges of life. And let me tell you, that's something that each one of us can do. It might only be a matter of picking up the phone and seeing how someone is. Getting in touch with another person. Showing an interest in another person. Seeing a brother discouraged and going to them and putting your arm around them. That's simple, but it's the task that God has called us to. Maybe it's a young person that you say being wayward or foolish. And you as an older believer can draw alongside and encourage them in the right direction. Be a friend to them. That's what they need. Or maybe it's an older person. An older person that because of the weakness now of the body, the tiredness of life, they've become downcast. And they simply want someone to come and visit them. And that's something each one of us can do. Simple tasks. This work that God has called us to not only involves supporting the saints, of course, it also involves speaking with sinners, sharing the gospel, telling others of their need of Christ. Christ's command to every believer is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this is our duty in this world, in our families, in our community, amongst our friends, speaking for Christ, sharing the gospel. And again, this is something that every single believer can do. Give a word of testimony and point people to the Savior. This is something we all can do. As Samuel served the Lord, in the simple way in which he did, God graciously spoke to him. He graciously spoke to him. He drew near. And this is how God works, you see. As we give ourselves to his service, we will know his drawing near to us and speaking to us. Samuel served the Lord in a simple way. Notice also here, Samuel served the Lord sincerely. We see this in the words of verse 5. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. See here how young Samuel reacted when he thought Eli had called him. He ran unto Eli. Now remember, as he labored in the temple, he was serving God by serving Eli. And so as Eli called him and he thought, well, Eli of course didn't call him, but he thought Eli called him. And notice how he reacts to Eli's voice. He runs right away. And there's a sense of eagerness here. There's a sense of zealousness. It's the middle of the night. Everything's quiet. But he hears Eli call and there's no sluggishness here. With the heart and soul, he faithfully served in the temple. Willingly and sincerely engaged in the work of God. Again, there is a very practical lesson in these words. A lesson for all of God's people. And how we are to serve the Lord. God desires his people to serve him willingly. He desires his people to serve him wholeheartedly. This is what God is looking for today. People that will say, listen, I desire to serve God. I want to play my part in the church in Garva. I want to play my part in the work of God. I want to be there, a key component in taking God's work forward. I want to be there. I want to do this. I want to run to this task. Even like young Samuel. This is what God is looking for. Ephesians 6 and 6 speaks of the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. And that's all about willingness. All about doing that which God asks us to do with all of our souls. Think of Samuel here. He could have thought, well, Eli's sons, they can see what their father wants. Let them go and sort their father out. He's their father after all. Or he could have said, listen, Eli's sons, what are they up to anyway? They're probably at some old skullduggery out there, carrying on badly as they were used to doing. And he could have said, listen, those boys, they're only wasting their time anyway, up to no good. Why don't they go and sort out their father? Or he could have said, listen, I'm young. I'm only 12. You see, Samuel could have pointed to many reasons why others could have served the Lord before him. He could have so easily, but he did not. And he did not because he had a heart to serve the Lord. Let me emphasize it again. This is what the Lord is looking for. This is what God is looking for in our lives. And when we give ourselves to serve the Lord in this way, this wholehearted manner, then God will meet with us, speak to our hearts from his word in a very special way, even as he did with Samuel. This is what will happen. God speaks to those that serve him. Now I want you to think about this. And I want you to think about yourself for a moment. Are you enjoying God's word? Can you say God is ministering unto me through his truth? Is this something that is up to date and real in your life at this moment? As you open up the word of God in your own home, you can say, God's blessing me through his word. God's ministering to my heart. God's speaking to me from his truth. These words are not just black words on a white page, but God himself is coming and drawing near, and I know his presence. I hear his speaking voice in my soul. Even as we come to God's house, is this your experience? God drawing near and God speaking to you? If not, perhaps the issue you need to address is one of giving yourself to the service of your master. Like Samuel, giving yourself to the work of God, ministering unto the Lord in your life. For this is who God speaks to. He speaks to those that serve him. But then secondly, notice with me here, God speaks to those that seek him. He speaks to those that seek him. Samuel was a young man that sought the Lord. A young man that sought the Lord. Indeed, as we examine the life of the child Samuel, this is one thing that is emphasized time and time and time and time again. He was a boy that sought God. If you turn back to the final verse in chapter 1, in 1 Samuel verse 28, we're given here the very first details of how Samuel lived as a boy. This is the very first detail that we're given about Samuel as he lived his life. Notice what it says here in verse 28. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And that, of course, was Samuel's mother, Hannah. She lent Samuel to the Lord. But then notice the words, and he worshipped the Lord there. He worshipped the Lord there. The very first thing we learn about the manner of Samuel's life in Scripture is that he worshipped the Lord. And, of course, worshipping God involves this seeking after God with the heart and with the soul. Then as we come into chapter 2, we are told in verse 11 in chapter 2, and Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child Samuel did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. The word minister here literally means a worshipper. That's exactly what it means. It means a worshipper. Samuel worshipped before the Lord. Again, it's emphasized. Notice what it says then in verse 18 in the same chapter. The same thing is brought before us. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Again, we've been brought to see here Samuel was a young man who sought the Lord. And then as you come into chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, the same form of words are found in the very first verse. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Now what the word of God then makes clear about young Samuel, what the scriptures particularly highlight about his life, is that he as a boy in the temple worshipped the Lord. He worshipped the Lord. He was a man that sought God. Like his mother Hannah, Samuel was one who sought after God and sought to know God's blessing in his life. Even as a young boy. From his time that he came to the temple, we read of how he worshipped the Lord. And then as we continue to read about him, it was he continued to worship the Lord. And this was, you see, the habitual character of his life. He worshipped the Lord there, and he continued to worship the Lord there. And we've been told this time and time and time again. This is what God wants us to know about Samuel. He sought the Lord. Of course, this was different from others that were in and around the temple at that time. Eli's sons did not seek after God. They knew not the Lord. And Eli himself was but lukewarm in regard to spiritual matters. Although Eli was a believer, he did know the Lord, yet there was a severe lack of holy conviction and zealous love for God in his heart. His worship, for the most part, was mechanical and merely ritualistic. But Samuel, even though he was but a child, was the contrast to all of this. He loved the Lord and he longed to know more of God. What we then see in this passage is, out of all the people in the temple, out of all the people that were there working in the temple, it was Samuel, the young man who earnestly sought after God, that God spoke to, and that God spoke to in a very personal and powerful way. It was the seeking heart that God met with that night, and that heard the voice of the Lord. You see, this is who God speaks with. Those that seek him. Those that desire after him. This is who God speaks to. He speaks to the soul that desires to know him. That longs to know him. That truly worships him. With all of their soul. This is something that we see many times in Scripture. That God especially draws near to and meets with and speaks to those that earnestly seek after him. The Lord told the people of Israel in Jeremiah 29 verses 12 and 13, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart." You think of what God was saying to the people of Israel. You'll call upon me. You'll pray. You'll seek me. And there's this whole thought of desiring after a God with all of the soul. And what does God say? You'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart. He was telling them, I will speak to those that long to know me and seek after me. In Luke 10:39, we read of Mary and how she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Sitting at Jesus' feet reveals Mary was seeking after Christ. And really, that's the picture that is painted for us there. There she was sitting at Jesus' feet. And she was wanting to know more of him. She was wanting to listen to him. She was desiring after the Lord. But as she did this, she heard his word. She heard his word. Those that do seek after God will hear his word. Seeking and hearing are two things that cannot be separated, you see, in the Christian life. Seeking and hearing. If you're going to hear God's word, you must approach the Lord with a seeking heart. Even as we come to church, maybe you come to church and there's this attitude, well, I don't get much out of it. But are you coming with a seeking heart, longing to know God, praying, God, speak to me today. Meet with me today. Make this special to me today. This was what Mary did. She sat at Jesus' feet. Of course, this was contrasted by her sister Martha and her behavior. Read about Martha. She was cumbered about much serving. Cumbered about much serving. Martha was focused upon temple and worldly matters. That's what she was focused upon. She was not seeking Christ like her sister. And the result was this. She did not hear Christ's word like Mary did. She didn't hear like Mary did. She didn't have that seeking heart yearning to know God in a fuller and greater manner. Here is something which is absolutely crucial. If we're going to be blessed through God's word, if we're going to hear God's speaking voice in our souls, we need to be like young Samuel. We need to have hearts that seek after God. This is what we need. Now, as we think of how there was the seeking after the Lord in Samuel's life, it is important to consider the manner by which Samuel actually sought God. And I believe this is very much implied in this passage. It's brought before us in different ways. It really teaches us how we are all to seek the Lord, the manner by which we should seek after God. These are words that are very often used when a preacher's preaching. Oh, you need to seek the Lord more. This is what you need to do. I mean, you know this is true, but what actually is involved in this? What does this actually mean? How can we implement this on a practical level? Well, notice here, this seeking after God in young Samuel's life involved a number of things. We can say it involves separation. It involves separation. Remember where Samuel was living at this time. He was living in the temple. Read of this in verse 3. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. See here it refers to the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then it says, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And this is telling us that Samuel was laid down to sleep where the ark of the Lord was. There in the temple. This is where he was living. In the temple, or it would have been the tabernacle. Because the temple was not yet built. Although it's referred to here as the temple, it would have been the tabernacle. Because the temple wasn't built to Solomon's day. Now the temple or tabernacle was a place of separation. And this is the point I want us to note. It was a place of separation. It was a place of separation from the rest of the world and the rest of society. We've all seen pictures of the tabernacle. Tabernacle there in the wilderness. And there was the tent and the different parts of that infrastructure, the altar and the laver, the tent itself. And then there was a fence the whole way around it and one gate in. And it was a place of isolation, a place of separation from all that was happening in the camp of Israel and all that was happening in the world. When the priests went into the tabernacle, there was complete separation from all that was happening outside. And the seeking after God then in Samuel's life, there was something of separation. Because he was in the tabernacle. Separated from the rest of the things that were happening in society. To truly seek after God with all of our hearts, separation is vital. Let me make that clear today. There needs to be separation. Separation from all that is happening in your life, in your family, in your work, in other areas of this world. There needs to be separation. Putting away of the phone, putting off of the television, and getting alone with God in the secret place, in the quiet place. This is crucial if we're truly to seek after God. We need to close out the world and really get alone with God. And this is what is involved in seeking after God. Oh, if you're to hear God speak to us, we need to get alone with God himself. Close out the world. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 6, in the verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Now why does Christ say, when thou hast shut the door? He's teaching his disciples, you need to shut the world out. Keep it all out. You're getting alone with God. You need to go into that place of total separation. And there you will meet with God. And there he will minister to you from his word. This is crucial if we are to truly seek after God. There needs to be separation. And we see this in Samuel's life. It is implied. Notice also there was not only separation as he sought after God, there was also sacrifice. Again, think of what Samuel was doing at this time. He was ministering to the Lord in the temple. And I've emphasized that. He was ministering to the Lord in the temple. He had given himself to the Lord. There was therefore sacrifice and consecration in his life. He was only a boy. Only a young man. And yes, his mother had brought him to the temple or to the tabernacle. But as we are told here of how he ministered to the Lord, it speaks of how he had given himself to this task. There was consecration, sacrifice. And once more, this is a key aspect in seeking after God. We seek after God that he might have us. And that we might be enabled to live for his glory. Let me emphasize that again. We seek after God, not that we might have things, but we seek after God primarily that he might have us. we seek after him, we might be able to give ourselves to him. That he might have our hearts. That he might have our love. That he might have our lives. That he might have our labors. This is why we seek after God. This is really what it is to seek after God, that he might have us. As Samuel then sought the Lord in this wholehearted manner, God met with him and spoke to him in this wonderful way. And that's what happened. And picture this scene here. Here was this young man ministering unto the Lord in the temple. A young man separated from society. A young man who was worshipping God. A young man who had given himself to the Lord's service. And what happens in the middle of all of this? God speaks to him. God draws near. And he hears God's speaking voice in a most wonderful way. Now, could I ask you today, is there a seeking after God in your heart and life? Is there? This separation, is there a time each day where you get alone with God? A time we could say of special separation. A time where you go into the tabernacle, close the door. Is there sacrifice in your life? Here, Lord, I want to give myself to you more. I am seeking after you that you might have me. That I might be able to live for thee and for your glory. Could it be that the word of God is not having an impact in your life? It's not changing you. And you're not enjoying the blessing of God's speaking voice in your soul. And the reason this is so, when all is stripped back, is because there's not a true seeking after God in your life. Not a true seeking after God. Oh, every day is just running one into the other. And it's just the same old, ritualistic, mundane, ceremonial way that you live. Oh, you might do a Bible reading. You read your wee passage and you close your Bible and you say you've done your bit for the day. But there's no ministry to the heart. No ministry to the soul. But you feel that you've done your bit. No really yearning after God in your heart and in your life. I believe this is an issue. A serious issue for many believers. There's no really laying hold upon God, seeking after him, that they might know his speaking voice. Proverbs 12 and the verse 11 declares, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. And we know this in the physical sense. If the farmer's going to have a crop, a fruitful crop, he needs to go out and till the land. He needs to work it. But the spiritual truth that this verse brings before us is this. If we're going to know spiritual satisfaction and blessing in our lives, we need to till the land. We need to be in the business of seeking after God. Truly and earnestly calling upon him. As a people desirous to hear from him. Oh, it was no coincidence that out of all the people in the tabernacle, it was Samuel that heard the Lord, because he was the one seeking after God. And so God speaks to those that serve him. He speaks to those that seek after him. Notice finally here, God speaks to those that submit to him. That submit to him. This is made clear in the words of verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. After Eli perceives it is God's voice that young Samuel is hearing, he tells Samuel that if he hears the voice again, to reply, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. This is exactly what Samuel does. As God calls to him again, he replies with the words, speak, for thy servant heareth. Speak, for thy servant heareth. Now, what we see here is the submission to God in Samuel's life. The submission to the Lord. This word heareth means more than to listen to. It really means to obey. To obey. And so Samuel was saying, speak to me, for I'm ready to obey. And that's what he was saying. Lord, speak to me, for I stand ready to obey your verse. I'm listening. I'm carefully listening, and I'm going to obey it. So therefore, speak to me. There was submission here. Wholehearted submission. Wholehearted surrender to God's voice, to God's will in Samuel's life. God then speaks to those that submit to him. He speaks to those that desire to walk in his ways. He speaks to those that are doers and not hearers only. This is who God speaks to. And really the question is today, is this our response to God? As we are found in God's house today, is this the very cry of our souls, Lord, speak to me today. Thy servant heareth. I stand ready to obey. Whatever your word says, whatever directive comes from Scripture to me, I want to obey all of your commandments. I want to live according to all of your statutes. I want to walk in all of your ways. This is where I am with God. Let me tell you, if that is the case, God will speak. And he will speak to you, and your word will come with such blessing. His word will come with such blessing to your heart. Such wonderful blessing. If there is this surrender, this submission to God. The contrast, if we think of the life of King Saul in the Old Testament, this is what we read about King Saul in 1 Samuel 28 verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Here was a man and he was inquiring after God. He was looking God to speak to him, but there was silence. Total silence. And he spoke to God and he sought God, but there was silence. Total silence. And why was this the case in Saul's life? Why was this his experience? It was because Saul would not submit to God's word. We know this. He disobeyed God's word. God had told him to go and slay the Amalekites, and he didn't. He kept the best of the animals, and he kept the king alive. He wouldn't submit to God's word. There was silence. God's word was not a blessing to his heart. It wasn't that which registered in his soul. And again, let me say this today. I fear this is a great problem in the lives of many, many professing Christians. They are not hearing God speaking to them because of sin. Because of a lack of willingness to comply to God's word. God in his word tells us how we are to live, how we are to behave, how we are to treat others, how we are to worship. And yet there seems to be such defiance of this. And believers aren't being blessed and encouraged because they're like Saul so often. They just listen, and the word of God isn't dwelling in their hearts richly and bringing forth fruit because of sin. Are there things in your life that need to be put right? Things in your life that need to be put right. Things that need to be confessed. Things that need to be dealt with. Things that need to be sorted out. And you know, and you know in your heart of hearts that God isn't speaking to you and you're not being blessed through his word as you once were. And there's things that need to be put right. The attitude you need to adopt is that of Samuel. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. The Lord speaks to those who serve him. He speaks to those that seek him. But he also speaks to those who submit to him. Oh, may we be such people. People that not only live in the service of God. People that only seek after God with all of our hearts. But people that submit. following the example of young Samuel. God will speak to us. God will meet with us. Our times of worship, our times alone with God will be times of blessing. Because God says, if you seek with me, seek after me with all of your heart, you shall find me. This is what God has promised. Oh, may we be those that hear God's speaking voice. May we know what it is to experience the power and blessing of God's truth in our lives. I trust God will bless his word to our hearts this day for his own name's sake. Amen. And amen.